All right, tell me who you are and what you're doing here.
Sure, my name's Steve Batiste, and I'm the director of the Applied Sciences Group at Microsoft. And the core essence of the group is we work in between the world of pure research and product development, and our job is to really help develop new innovations, new ways of interacting with machines, new machine types. And in this concept, what we'd like to try to do is kind of further explore, the keyboard space and how we can kind of push the boundaries around the keyboard space. Doesn't exactly have to look like what you see here today, but the concepts that you're seeing here today are really exciting, and there's a lot of gems that can evolve and tree out to many different types of ideas and concepts. This latest iteration is a really cool concept where we've taken just a full liquid crystal display and designed some really interesting special keys that move all the key hardware, the mechanisms that move the keys up and down off to the side, and allows you to actually peer down through the key and onto the display. And we lay that on top of the display, and we have even a touch screen that sits on top. And what we've set up is basically a platform to explore and develop new concepts in adaptive user interfaces.
So I'm a grad student at the University of Maryland, and I'm the chair of the Student Innovation Contest for WIST 2010.
And what is WIST for people who don't know?
So WIST stands for User Interface Software and Technology, and it's a conference where people showcase software and hardware for new interactions and new user interfaces.
And what are we doing in this place?
And this is where we're setting up right now for the Student Innovation Contest. And we have 19 teams this year, and they all received an adaptive keyboard from Microsoft.
Okay.
And they're getting prepared to demo their projects, and the winners of the contest will receive cash prizes and a lot of recognition, hopefully.
So my name is James McCloskey. This is Kevin Crossan. We're from UCSD, the University of California, San Diego, and we built this computer system. So right now, Kevin, I guess if you set up the streaming real quick. What I have is my laptop is hooked into this computer. So this computer acts as a podium, and what it does is it takes touch input. So if I was teaching a class, I would have this as my slide, and then I'd be able to advance. And as I do that, the podium advances. And then for our keyboard project, we have the slides populated here. But this is also a touch screen. So we can change colors, and then change the gradient and the pen size, and then draw on our slides. So we can say we are simulcast lectures. Okay, and then I continue. And the current system, professors will take their laptops and they plug them into projectors. And what we do is we go in between. We are this process right here. So the problem, some stuff going on. I'm not going to explain it, but let's just say that's a check or a V. Ta-da. And then our solution, we take a laptop, plug it in. We did some magic in the middle. There's a touch screen. And then it goes out to a projector in the class, and it's streamed live. So this laptop, which isn't on right now, is going to show the live streaming. We're still setting up. And then we're going to have a projector, which is going to be projecting onto a wall to show this whole solution.
My name is Mark LaPrairie. I'm from the University of Regina. And my partner, who's not here, is Scorthy Sinapa, also from the same university.
And what do we have here?
We have the Visual Clipboard and Application Launcher. So I wanted to develop some software that would, be my idea of what would come with this keyboard that would work with any application. So one thing you might want to do is have your desktop appear on the keys if you're sort of a tactile kind of person. So you bind a key, and when you press it, it displays all your desktop icons. In this case, it's actually my user icons. So if I wanted to get to the desktop, I'd click there. Or if I wanted to launch a web browser, I'd just simply click it. Quick launch, quick access. It's really, really quick. The icons also appear on the touch screen if you need a bigger clue about what the program actually is. Like, say, the little icon down here, the puppy dog, isn't clear to you. It also appears up here. So if you wanted to see the puppy dog on your desktop, you click it that way. It would pop right up.
My name is Bosse Spier. I'm a Dutchman studying in Sweden. And we are here. I'm here, but I work with four people from Sweden, and we created a prototype for basically a taskbar. We moved the Windows taskbar down onto your keyboard, just on top of your keys. So this is, I just put it up, and it shows you we have three windows. You still see your time and your volume, so So this basically is your sister area. It could be adding some icons about your Wi-Fi and such.
So this is like a very large taskbar.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's a touchable taskbar. We just nicknamed it that.
Yeah.
But the main difference is that the space for your applications, so basically your windows, is a lot bigger. So you can do stuff like what you now use gadgets for, but you can just integrate into the application. So this is a gadget for Windows Media Player. You can see here, this is the current playlist standing here. But I can switch applications, and now I'm not looking at Media Player anymore, but I can still just pause the, play the music, switch the song, pause it again.
So that lets you go through the entire playlist.
Yeah, your current playlist. So it's not complete interaction, but it's just your current playlist, and you can fiddle around with, skip to the next song.
I'm Jun Kato from the University of Tokyo, so I came from Japan. We developed an application called InteleViewer.
Okay.
So if you using Visual Studio, you may know IntelliSense, which supports people to make programs. So it supports the user when the user is programming. But our application supports people when they are viewing source code. So suppose you want to view source code on the source code editor like this one. There are hierarchy in the source code, like namespace and class and member variable or member fields. Mm-hmm. And so we simply bind the namespace and classes and members to the first line, second line, third lines of the keyboard.
Hi, my name is Marco Pena de Cohen, and this is Josef Reisen.
Hi.
And Josef Skolnick. We have developed a means of bringing through keyloggers.
So this is for hardware or software keyloggers?
All keyloggers, we've managed to solve the problem for all keyloggers, hardware and software.
The point is that the password is never exists on the computer itself. It passes above the operating system, through to directly to the internet.
So this is, we have here an example of a login page, any random login page. It's a standard username and password box.
Okay.
The software is sending in the, is sending server side. But you can see, the actual concern for me is right now is the password. So now, this is the regular layout of the keyboard. I want to enter my username, let's say, Jean-Lo. All right. And I'm going to now click in the password box and pay attention to all the keys. The keys will now switch. All of them switch into a mixed-up pattern on the keyboard. Now you can see that these are all not normal keys. They're not actually text. These are all pictures, right? These are all captures that cannot be read by a program. Image analysis won't work on them, and the server is what's sending these pictures to my keyboard. Now I will type in my password, and I can see that I'm typing on the keyboard and here. I can, let's say I'm going to write Marky. Okay. And this is what I just typed in. Now you can see that where I typed in, it's not the same spaces on these keys. So the server can also read what I wrote. The key sitting on the server, and in such a way we tunnel everything from the keyboard that the user actually types onto the server and.
How do you tunnel straight from the keyboard to the server?
So, since the keys, we don't change what the keys are, but we get a random different layout of new keys every single time for every new session. So the user is always typing in a different series of letters that is not actually what he typed. He thinks he's typing something. Keyboard sending something else. The server knows what it sent and can use the key to unscramble what was written, and the server knows that that's the correct password.
Very nice. So it's a different password every time, except it's correct to the server.
Sure. Yes.
This is Andy Malusi. I'm Richard Tai. We're from Rosenholman Institute of Technology, and our project is instrumentation interface optimization.
This is actually a real-time system over here. The same kind of real-time system that would control this large hydron collider over in CERN. And we just have separate natural resistor feedback node. It runs an operating system called LabVIEW Real-Time, and its programming language is Natural Instruments LabVIEW. And what we want to do is we want to make this keyboard, which is object-oriented and event-driven, work with Natural Instruments LabVIEW, which is data flow and graphical. So what we do is we wrote an API that would allow us to create buttons, where you can actually see a progressive button, it'll update. And all this is actually running on that device, not actually on the computer just for showmanship. And we can also enter numbers and then update, and it will control the voltage and current going through those resistors. The idea being that, CERN has 1,500 of these. That means 1,500 keyboard, 1,500 mice, 1,500 monitors. That's expensive and it's hard to maintain. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just replace that all with just the keyboard, walk up, plug it in, so our API controls all the communication, doesn't stop the system if it's disconnected, and it basically just makes it work for someone to come in and fix it. Our initial implementation was to also have an edit mode for this, because I have these graphical, we could easily replicate that on the keyboard with the touchscreen. And you can drag and drop and place your indicators into your controls and actually program it. So say you're off in timing a bit, you can come over and plug this in, change it to edit mode, and you start and stop, change it to edit mode, fix it, hit start again, and your hydron collider's back on.
My name is Zach Robinson. I go to the University of Benson Technology in Tempe in Arizona. I'm an art major, but I'm working with all my programmers.
And what do you have here?
We have, it's called Clippings for the Decker keyboard, and it's a copy and paste function, and I got a presentation here, and I can run you through in about 90 seconds. So it's Clippings for the keyboard. And so we want to know what it's all about. It's a copy and paste function. Works like any other copy and paste. You select what you want to keep. Control C will copy it. It brings it down to your keyboard. Stores it here. It has the potential to store unlimited amounts based on the amount of data you want to allocate to it. You can scroll back and forth between your different stored clicks. And then when you click it, it cues it up to be ready to paste it wherever you want by using Control V. Like, okay, so copy and paste, anybody can do that. Why do you need it? We want to streamline your tedious tasks. We want to increase your productivity. Say you're a teacher at a school. You can store all your multiple responses that you have. You're not going to want to write up every single email, so you say, okay, this is a great paper, or this is a terrible paper. So you queue up your great job, predefined response. You select the icon, you go to your email, you click and you paste it in, and you've got your basic email to send back.
Well, my name is Mauro Piculiani. I'm from Brazil. And I'm presenting a demo called Touch Edit, which is a touch interface to help video and audio edit. Here we have the adaptive keyboard and an editing application, such as Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere.
Yeah.
Usually this interface works with tracks. You know, here we can see on the monitor four tracks, four video tracks. And here on the keyboard, we can see one audio track. So, in this way, the editor can work simultaneously with video and audio. Here, you can click on the cursor. You can navigate through it with an infinite dial job. You can also have buttons to move. You can scroll the area. You can, for instance, select 2 points and make a selection of them. Okay. One.
Hi. Crystal keyboard is jogging name, which is crystal ball.
It's a crystal ball.
Huh?
It's a crystal ball.
Yes, crystal ball.
And what are we looking at in this crystal ball?
This keyboard is crystal ball. User can see past operation history. This is operation history. Yeah, right side is newer operation history. Left side is older history.
And those are thumbnails of the web pages that you've visited?
Pardon?
They're thumbnails of the web pages you've looked at?
Yes. User want to get past history, type this button. Yeah. Switch to that window.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, each application has operation timeline. One is five history. Firefox is browser history.
Interesting. So the icon on the right has a history on the left.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. Another mode is memory map mode. To type control key and switch the memory resource view. Yes. The application is many memory.
Yeah.
So this application, icon, display, bigger.
So the size of the icon represents the amount of memory that it's
yes.
using.
Just as it's heavy, task manager is not heavy.
Very yes. interesting. And this Skype is sucking up yeah. some memory there.
Yes.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Erin Brady. I'm a student at the University of Rochester. I'm a first-year grad student. So the project that we worked on was replicating the menu bar functionality from any application, in our example specifically Internet Explorer, to have it down on the touch screen of the keyboard. If you look right now, you'll have all these tabs at the top, your file menu here, and some of the navigation stuff at the bottom. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the internet connected right now, but clicking on these buttons will go through and switch what tab you're focused on. You can add a new tab, which you'll see what comes up there, and then you can also take it away all from the keyboard. Another problem that we had is you have to have your keyboard application in focus on the computer at all times. So
I'm Christopher Ham, and I'm part of the Elements team from Team Yaku. And the rest of our team are Patrick Marnie, Justin Rahazu, and Edward Hall.
Great. And what are we looking at here?
Basically, we've identified one of the main problems for multimedia development is when you have too many elements on the screen and it can get very costly.
Yeah.
So we've broken up our solution into three main flavors, and we've basically targeted that with locating your element, manipulating your element, and then collaborating your project. So, we'll show you how it works.
Alright.
So,
I've got my project set up. I've got some files. I've got some elements around the place. I like how it's looking, but I wanted to add some more to it. So, on the keyboard, I can go, I do a gesture to slide down and say, oh, I want to search for something. And, just get something pretty, get some abstract stuff. This can search my desktop, the internet. In the future, this could even do sort of video searching, audio searching, whatever. Scroll through, look for what I want, and go, alright, yep, it looks good. And you can go to the website that's wrong, you can save it to your hard drive. Or if you just want to extract your document, you can slide it up. And that will appear there in your document and sort of move around. Now, if you have a look at the tree on the side, this group has some several shapes underneath it. I think that's these three. On the keyboard, to make the process easier, when everything gets busted, I want to go in, I don't like the color of the square, I want to change the size of it. Rather than having to go and find it manually, clicking on it, making it tricky to get to what I want, I can hold that down. And that'll explode into all the shapes that make that group.
I'm Laura Parkinson.
And I'm Walter Zara.
We're from the Brown University CS department. Explain.
So we developed a method for inputting music, and our goal is to make it really intuitive and easy for someone to write a score out. Okay, so we can go ahead and select a note here that's going to draw on the screen, and I can change certain attributes about this note, such as the length. I can make it shorter or longer. I can add a dot onto it to increase its length. I can add dynamics to show you how loud or how soft to play the note. And when I'm done with that, I can go ahead and I can press the space bar to go on to the next note.
From the University of Rochester. So we made a game called Black Hole, as many people probably heard that game. We felt that it was a really good fit for the keyboard. So the way the game works is there's a mole that hops around the keys, and you have to try to repeat it as many times as you
I'm Rob Zabo.
From Virginia Commonwealth University.
VCU. You know, there's a lot of social games on the rise lately, and they don't really have anything to really work with other than just a keyboard and mouse. So with this new adaptive keyboard, we have a couple of extra things we can do with this just to help immersion and get the player into the game for that extra 20 minutes of playing.
What we have is the keyboard, or the table, extends off onto the keyboard. So when the player looks down, it's almost, what he'd see on a normal blackjack table. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm in the middle of a hand. Looks like he's got a 2, I've got a 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to go ahead and hit one more time and see what happens. All the gestures in this game are mimicked off a real blackjack gesture. So to hit, just a double tap on anywhere on the table, just like in real blackjack. We're at 17 right now. Let's go ahead and stay. Same as in a regular blackjack, you just make a swipe over your cards. Oh, and we had a push, so the dealer won that time.
My name is Wu Miao, and I'm from RPA. The idea of this project is to utilize the Microsoft keyboard to have a different user interface of what we're inputting. So instead of using the usual keyboard like typing, you can lean back and type. Because all the different keys on the keyboard have different displays, so you can easily retrieve different things and type in differently. And the goal of this project is to display the content a little bit differently so that people see the content a little bit differently to generate more ideas.
Okay, I'm Narayan, and I'm from Georgia Tech, and we have this project called Pixie, Picture, Express, and Communicate, which we have developed on the Microsoft Adaptive Keyboard for the UIC competition. What Pixie does is it's actually a tool that helps children in the autism spectrum help communicate and express themselves better. So the idea being that you can see images here, which are related to the child's context. So now children, there's a strong hypothesis that children in the autism spectrum can think in images. We want to leverage this ability for them to communicate and express themselves better. So the child can select a context. She wants to talk about home, and she can select a context. And then she can talk about whether she wants to talk about people. So you can see people, images of her parents, caregivers, and friends here. Then you can see images of actions or emotions here, and then images of objects here. So if she wants to say something like, I'm angry with my dog, all she needs to do is press the angry icon, and then press the dog icon, and then press her own image, and click enter.
I'm Stephen Keefschuk Masuk. I'm from the University of Tennessee. What we've got here is our keyboard tutor. It's a small part of a bigger program that we've been working on. It's to teach children to type. The idea is you can see the words come up here. And they'll move down to where their letter position is on the keyboard. And the idea is that the children will push the key at the exact moment that the key's hit. It's kind of a game. This is not how they begin out typing. They wouldn't know where to click. So you have to go through the usual, push the A button 200 times, B, so you keep going. This could be a quiz or a test or maybe a fun part that they look forward to.